in love during a first date. Unsuccessful Democratic presidential candidates considered first dates might include Michael Dukakis, the former governor of Massachusetts in 1988, Senator George McGovern in 1972, and Senator John Kerry in 2004. Still, Fund acknowledged that 2008 is the Democrats' presidential election to lose, for at least two reasons. First, it is extremely difficult for a party in power that has held the White House for two terms to extend into a third term. People have Bush fatigue, Fund has said, and they want to try something new. Second, as the economy slowed down through the first quarter of 2008, the odds were increasing that it would be in a recession in November 2008. Recessions are never good for the party holding the White House. Yet Fund has consistently argued that the Republican Party has an excellent chance to retain the White House in 2008. Why? For beginners, Obama entered the primary season a virtually unvetted presidential candidate. Candidates as green as Mr. Obama make first-timer mistakes under the searing scrutiny of a national campaign. Ask John Kerry, who had won five statewide elections before running for president. Second, most people don't pay attention to elections until they have to. In the primaries, the media coverage is all about personality. But finally, in September and October, in the last stages of a general election, everyone gets into a discussion about issues and ideology. Fund has maintained Republicans win when they decide to focus campaigns on issues. George W. Bush, despite all his faults, ran a campaign of contrasts and issues in 2000 and 2004 and won, even with a hostile audience in both cases, Fund has told audiences. Ronald Reagan was all about compare and contrast. We are conservatives, they are liberals. Or their policies fail and our policies work. Choose. Reagan was behind Carter in the polls, but the final debate turned the tide when he framed the question clearly for voters. How did voters feel in 1980 they would be better off economically? With the failures of the Carter years or the promise of the Reagan years? Only then did Reagan win by a landslide. We are still a center-right country, Fund has said, on any fundamental policy question, social, economic, or foreign policy, about 60% of the country will vote for the conservative side rather than the liberal side, provided the fall campaign turns to comparing and contrasting issues of policy and ideology, not personality. The third vignette comes from the recorded comments of Barack Obama himself. On Sunday, April 6, 2008, at a private fundraising event in San Francisco, Barack Obama was speaking to a small group of wealthy supporters. Obama uttered his offending sentence as he tried to explain to the prospective campaign donors why he was still behind in the Pennsylvania polls. Obama explained that in some of these small towns in Pennsylvania, and like a lot of small towns in the Midwest, the jobs have been gone now for 25 years and nothing's replaced them. He went on to note, "And each successive administration has said somehow these communities are going to regenerate, and they have not." Then came the offending sentence. "And it's not surprising when they get bitter. They cling to guns or religion or antipathy to people who aren't like them or anti-immigration sentiment or anti-trade sentiment as a way to explain their frustrations." A firestorm of criticism immediately broke out, threatening to dislodge Obama from his then-presumptive nominee status and giving an advantage to Hillary Clinton. Behind in the delegate count, Clinton could argue Obama was an elitist, out of touch with middle-class voters, an ironic argument for a former first lady whose recently disclosed income statements showed she and her husband, the former president, had made more than $100 million in income over the past 7 years. In only 35 words, which Obama had reason to expect would never be heard outside that room, he risked blowing a carefully crafted image designed to make him appear a unifier, a politician who had transcended politics, a large soul capable of embracing the poor and the lowly more effectively than had any person on the American political scene since at least Robert F. Kennedy. Instead, Obama appeared elitist. Yes, he had been born of mixed blood and was raised by his grandparents. Nevertheless, he had attended elite schools, Punahou School in Hawaii, Occidental College and Columbia University, and Harvard Law School, where he was elected the president of the Law Review. Suddenly, voters were reminded that Barack Obama was not an African-American descended from a slave, and that he had never lived in an urban ghetto, except by choice, when working as a community organizer in Chicago. In the Internet age, no candidate should ever assume what is said or done will remain private or secret for long. Candidates are especially vulnerable in unguarded moments, which can be captured as audio and video and turned into personal vignettes through which an Internet user can peer behind the candidate's carefully crafted public persona.